So we have Colossians 3, 1 to 11 and Luke 12, 13 to 21. When I prepare for Sundays, I've got a set of books that I always go to give me an overview, a flavour of what might happen. It's only a couple of pages. Very easy reading. I like easy reading. Anyway, the first sentence for this Sunday was, "The readings are just depressing. Brace yourselves." Now, would you like me to stop now? Or shall I go on? You want me to go on? You might regret this. No. The reading that we didn't read was Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Oh, crumbs, why do we bother to do anything? Because we're all going to die and it's going to be a waste of time. So I decided not to read that one. I've gone on to Colossians. Now, there's a bit of a history lesson here because we all need to think of the context in which we hear the words of God. Now, Paul had been written to because there was concern about the church in Colossae. And so he wrote this letter. He was in prison at the time. He couldn't go in person. And why the request was made for like an intervention, if you like, was because the people in Colossae had actually taken Christ into their hearts. They'd become followers of the way. They'd become Christians, yeah? But they still kept some of their old lives. They still kept the stuff that they wanted to hang on to. They still kept the stuff that made them comfortable. Yeah? So they had the teachings of Christ, but they wanted bits from Socrates. They wanted bits from Moses. They wanted bits from their mate down the road. They wanted wisdom from other places. Because Colossians is a book which really emphasises and impounds upon us that Christ is all in all and he is all sufficient and all supreme. They didn't want to accept that. They wanted to pull bits in, as I say, that made them comfortable. Then I thought, I don't think I'd like to live in Colossae, actually. Because it doesn't sound a very nice place. Actually, I do live there. We live there. And I don't know about you, but I'm more than capable of saying, "God, Jesus, I love you." And I'm thinking, well, I can do that because that's all right. I quite fancy that. It brings me comfort. I'll do that. It's so wrong. So wrong. And actually, Paul does give quite it's a couple of lists in here. And he's saying to the Colossians, you know, put to death whatever is in you, which is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed. They're all big ticket items, aren't you? I don't know about you, but I can quite give up on evil desire. I don't think I know that trait anymore. But it's always a but to these things. We go on to the second list. Get rid of anger, malice, slander, abusive language. And that really hit home because I am more than capable of being angry about things. And it's not the anger that Jesus had when he cleared everybody out of the temple. It's my anger. And it is this insidious small things that can trip us up, isn't it? And it is this insidiousness where we pull in our comfort from things around us which are not of Jesus. It's tough. It's tough. But we have to make that choice for Jesus, don't we? And the passage from Colossians actually start with, you know, don't look at the earth, don't think of earthly things. And in my mind, that translated to me walking along, looking at my feet, looking at the earth, and not raising my eyes to God. I don't know how you feel about that analogy, but I am more than capable of wanting my feet firmly planted on the earth. But if we put our treasures into earthly things, it is so short-mindedness, isn't it? Because we are only on this earth for a short period of time and we've stored up our riches here on earth. And that does give a very good background to the passage from Luke. Anybody feeling cheered up, by the way, so far? No? Right, okay. It does get better. There is an answer. So in Luke, Luke is writing to his fellow Roman, Theophilus, and this is the only gospel where this parable is told, because it would appeal to the nature of Theophilus. And what this context is, if you go home and read chapter 12 and finish at 12, then go on to 22, i.e. missing out the verses that we've just heard, it makes complete sense. It is this interjection as a response to someone shouting out from the crowd that Jesus has taken up. So Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching about, you know, don't fear those who kill the body. And if you go anywhere, you have to speak Christ's words. Then those words will be given to you. So don't worry. Don't stress. Just chill. And then some bloke in the crowd decides to interrupt him. I thought, how rude. And this someone in the crowd asks Jesus to tell his brother that he must give him half of his father's property. What does this say about this chap in the crowd? He's not interested in what Jesus is saying. He's pulling in that stuff from around him, which is not of God, because he wants his rights. And he's going to have his rights. And Jesus is going to make everything right, and he's going to do what he wants Jesus to do. How wrong he was. This chap has decided, he's made the decision, what he wants to happen in his life, and he wants Jesus to endorse it. He wants Jesus to enter his own little bubble. He wants Jesus to condone his thought processes. He wants Jesus to side with him. And Jesus doesn't. He refuses. Jesus isn't going to judge that man now, but he will be judged when he gets upstairs. And Jesus is going to leave that. And he's not into division at this particular point in time, although Jesus does go on to say he will divide peoples as to people who believe and people who don't believe. Anyway, Jesus never worried about bringing a teaching into the situation, tells the story of the guy who's got so much. The farmer who's got all this store of grain. And his land had produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and be enlarged ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods and say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink and be merry. I, me, myself, I'm not going to share. I'm not going to share. And that took me to a place where, you know, God has blessed us so much in this country. It ain't perfect. We have so much. We have roofs over our head. We have heating systems that mostly work. We have food and we have drink. Have enough clothes, more clothes than we need, more shoes than we need. And then I see people wanting to come into this country because they have nothing. You only have to watch the news to be moved by those mothers that can't even feed their babies because they don't have food. And this is what Jesus is railing about, because we don't share. We don't share. And in one of the books that I read for today, it says, you know, really, the clothes in your cupboard are not yours. The food in your kitchen is not yours. The shoes that you have in your cupboard, which are rotting away because you don't wear them, they're not yours. It really is demanding of us to share. To share. Material things, as James said, faith without action is irrelevant. And also to share Jesus' love with others. Sharing Jesus. That is what we are here on earth to do. Share Jesus. Share Jesus' love. And then, so we've got this little interlude of this very rude chap that shouted at Jesus. So then goes back, Jesus goes back to his disciples. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life, eternal life, is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And it goes on to say about the ravens and the birds and the flowers. They don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they look like, because they can trust in Jesus. So yes, it's very salutary, these things that Jesus is speaking to us about. Pertinent, salutary, but, and it's a good but, he has the answer. He is the answer. We are so capable of complicating things, aren't we? We are so capable of that, when it is actually quite simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your might, and love others as yourselves. To share. To share. To share Jesus with others and give them the greatest gift. Sometimes that's quite difficult to do. Sometimes we come up against a brick wall. That's my husband coming up against a brick wall for me. But I ain't going to give up. There are others who I know have similar brick walls. Whoever they may be, never give up. Never give up sharing Jesus' love with others. Never give up. Because he is the answer. Do you feel a bit more cheerful now?